2008. Great. I'll open up a work session on House Bill 3617. Rick.
Thank you, Chair. We have before you, and if not right this second, shortly, two sets of amendments. The dash 8, and I did do an email out last night of the dash 5 amendments, which were converted into dash 8. So if you did get those amendments last night, the dash 5, I did clarify in there that the ones we're getting this morning, there's two changes made, one being that it would prohibit Department of Human Services from putting identifying information such as Social Security number in there. And then number two, the dash 8s differ from the dash 5s in that our second point was...
I removed the reference to the circuit court.
Oh, no reference to the circuit court in there. And then additionally, we clarify in there that the fees are biennial, so that there's not a mistake that they are annual fees. Then we also have the dash 7 amendments. These were emailed out. We're getting hard copies in a second down for the dais and members. The dash 7s define residential facility to include an assisted living facility, but to exclude residential treatment facility or residential treatment home. And so those are the dash 7 amendments there.
Great. Thank you, Rick. Good morning.
Do we have the dash 7?
Dash 7?
They'll be coming down in just a second.
Thank you. I'm going to read the dash 7 since we don't have them on page 2 of the printed bill. If people want to follow this, line 5, after the word including, delete the rest of the line and line 6 and insert, in quotes, an assisted living facility but excluding a residential treatment facility as defined in ORS 443.400, parentheses 9, or a residential treatment home as defined in ORS 443.400, parentheses 10. So, that's it. Yes, Representative.
Unless I can read it, I'm sorry, but I'm certainly not going to go to a vote now.
They're coming.
Madam Chair, that's the section that clarifies that we're not referring to children's facilities.
That's correct.
Madam Chair, Rick, those were what you emailed out yesterday, aren't they?
Yes.
So people have them in their emails. Yeah. Also, I'm doing that because other people may not have gotten it in their emails, but we did. Yesterday, we got a letter for the record from the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force. One of the items that was brought up yesterday was that people with disabilities are 2 to 10 times more likely to be sexually assaulted than people without disabilities, and nearly 80% of women with developmental disabilities have been assaulted at least some point in their lives. And we also got colleagues materials with the names redacted from the Department of Human Services about abuse.
Madam Chair, that first thing, I don't...
You don't have this?
I'm trying.
Should have been dropped off at your office yesterday.
You did get the letters, the abuse that... I didn't get that. Did you get it?
Yes, I got it. My stuff gave it to me last night.
Should have been dropped off in my office.
It was like testimony that people mailed.
It did make my folder either.
I didn't get that.
Do you want me to have copies made of this,
it would,
Representative?
Okay. Yes, please.
Can we do that very quickly? Thank you. Sure. We're going to just take a recess for about 1 minute.
Sorry, it may be just that staff is not tracking.
What?
Whatever she's talking about.
Oh, it was passed off. I mean, somebody came around.
I'm saying, I didn't get it.
Yeah, she got a copy.
I didn't either. Well, but...
It didn't come through the committee.
What I'm saying...
Thank you. Are you okay, Joanne? Great, thank you. And we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 3617. So, Rick?
You should have now also in front of you a copy of the Dash 7 amendments. Hope you've had a chance to look at them. Unless there's any other thing I could add on the Dash 8.
Let's give people time to read that.
Madam Chair, it would make sense to just review them again since they're in front of us.
Okay.
I think the Dash 7s are clear. It's the Dash 8.
Okay.
Okay. I will just briefly then go through the Dash 8 amendments in summation. Again, these are a culmination of some earlier amendments that have been built upon. So, again, I'll just summarize the key points. It does delete a technical assistance and adds training and license activities to the purpose of the fund. Adds substantiated complaint and abuse of and violation of quality of care standards as defined by rule and for those instances on or after 2003 as additional reasons for a caregiver being listed on the database. It does designate the database as the database of quality care violations, stipulates the length of time a name remains on the database, criterion for having a name removed from the database. It does redefine abuse, clarifies that the measure applies to adults with developmental disabilities only, deletes provisions that modify the information that DHS should maintain on the database. Does modify the bino fees that some facilities pay for licensing and then requires DHS to adopt rules using objective criteria for establishing civil penalties, which may not exceed $500 for each violation or is otherwise required by federal law. Does limit the amount of civil penalties except for situations where death, serious injury, or rape occur to an aggregate amount not to exceed $6,000, and then specifies that DHS impose a penalty of not less than $2,500 per violation against a facility where abuse occurs resulting in the death, serious injury, rape, and similar egregious abuses. It does require DHS, when adopting criterion for these civil penalties, to take into consideration prior violations, financial benefits realized by the facility, the gravity of the violation, severity of incident, and facilities history and corrective violations. This is probably not the exhaustive list. Allows DHS, if it finds facilities in responsible for abuse resulting in a resident's death, to impose a penalty of $500 to $1,000 for each violation. And then it also does clarify that DHS can impose penalties for violations that do not constitute abuse. And the Dash 8s do go through kind of a list of ways in which circumstances when DHS can impose these penalties. And again, then we've just touched on the Dash 7s as well.
Great. Thank you, Rick. So do I need a motion for the Dash 8 amendment before we start the discussion?
No, I need a discussion before. I need to ask for a discussion if you want.
Okay. So let's open up discussion on the Dash 7 amendment. Any concerns about those? Representative Kotick?
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 3617.
Representative Kotick recommends that adoption of the Dash 7 amendments. Any discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the slow learners, is this just a change that limits what we're targeting here?
It excludes a residential treatment facility as defined in ORS 443-400. Yes, Representative Elser.
And the reason that it does that is we wanted to be very clear that we're speaking only about adults with developmental disabilities and DD facilities. So this removes everybody else, including the mental health, the folks that Doug Barber spoke to us about when raising that concern.
Thank you.
I've asked Lori Freeman to come up. She has two very big books where she can give us more information if needed.
But she knows how to read.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? Any further discussion? All right. Joanne, would you call the roll, please? Oh, am I supposed to say something more? Okay.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Gelser.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative
Kopiak.
Aye.
Representative Warren.
Aye. That's Olson, by the way.
Olson is excused.
And Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the constitutional majority, -7 amendments passed. Okay, so you've got the -8 amendments. I think they've been in your hands for some time, and they were also in your email yesterday. Any discussion about the -8 amendment? Any questions about the -8 amendments? Representative Gilliam, we have LC right here. We can give you.
I would love, Madam Chair, LC's quick version of 8. And I have one other question.
Absolutely.
Representative Olson had... Which were his amendments that he was...
I have no idea.
Fair enough.
Does anybody know? Okay. Okay. So any more discussion or questions for LC about the -8 amendments? Yeah, Representative Maurer.
Well, Representative Gilliam's question wasn't answered, I believe.
Here he comes.
No, I had my question before that, and thank you, Representative Moore.
Ms. Gilman.
I just would like her thumbnail 30-second on these eights.
You bet.
Since she's right here.
You bet. Thank you, Lori.
Chairman Tomei, members of the committee, Lori Freeman from Office of Legislative Counsel. I guess the easiest way would be just to go through the original bill, at least because I have it marked up in color coding.
Is that what you want, Representative?
Yes.
You wanted to go through the original bill with the amendment then?
I want the briefest version, because I can tell that's what I want from your look.
So... I will make it as brief as possible.
Thank you, Lori.
Chair Tomei. Section 1, as Mr. Berkovian said, it expanded the purposes for the use of the monies in the Quality Care Fund. Section 2, it expanded it beyond abuse to quality care violations, and it provided for a method for an individual to get their name taken off the list. The database if they'd been without any substantiated complaints for 5 years. We also, this incorporated an earlier amendment where we defined abuse. We tied it to the abuse definition that's in 430.735, but without applying it to people with mental illness, so it was limited to just people with developmental disabilities. Section 6 we removed. Section 7, before we had given the department the authority to establish license fees for long-term care facilities by rule, and the definition in this case is intermediate care facilities and skilled nursing facilities, and it was replaced with a schedule of licensing fees. We added amendments to 441.715 and 441.995 to make sure that there wasn't a conflict between the $2,500 civil penalty and the caps that are in the statute. In Section 9, again, we separated out the facilities that were for people with physical disabilities and people with developmental disabilities and people with mental illness, so that there was a different fee structure for each of them, and the fees for individuals and facilities who have physical disabilities, we set forth a new fee schedule. And then for the other two, we left it the same. In Section 11, we amended it so that the fees that were collected from facilities that serve people with physical disabilities, or, I'm sorry, fees and civil penalties would go into the Quality Care Fund, but from the facilities that serve people with developmental disabilities and mental illness, it would continue to go into the general fund. We added in subsection 2, we inserted in place of the blank the $2,500 for each violation involving serious injury, rape, sexual abuse, or sexual exploitation. A bunch of renumbering. And again, at the end of 13.
Lori, I'm going to stop you for a moment. Representative Gelser, you have a question?
Could you show, because that was not an intended amendment to take the DD fines and civil penalties out of the Quality Care Fund. I believe we took the, all of the DD penalties were still going into the Quality Care Fund.
I'm sorry. Yes, 443, 430 is just the license fees. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then
Representative Kotick?
Just to clarify, so the change was the penalties are going into the fund, but the licensing fees are remaining in the general fund. Is that what you were?
Chair Tomei, Representative Kotick, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry. I need to back up just a little bit. I'm on page 3 of the amendments. I'm looking at lines 1 through 8. And I don't understand how they fit into the bill. I'm not questioning the content, I'm questioning the actual structure of the bill. Line 2 of page 3 of the dash 8 says you're deleting or you're restoring the bracketed material, which I understand. And then line 3 says you delete line 31 and insert. But then if you have restored the bracketed material, it goes A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E.
I believe it's just restoring line 24. I had the same question. So only line 24 is restored. The other information below that in bracket is deleted, and then you insert the...
Is that correct?
Chair Tomei, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
And then we're removing the line that says the department shall establish the fees, because we're taking that out.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, let's see. And then on page 8 of the bill, which is section 15, subsection 10, again, we added the $2,500 violation, and this is with respect to adult foster homes. And then we added an amendment to 443.790, which again was to deal with the conflict between the cap and statute and the $2,500 violation. And the rest was renumbering changes. And then there were two, those were the changes from 5, and then in 8, in addition to all of those, we also deleted a reference to it was in In the section that we added for getting your name off the list, we had said, except as otherwise ordered by the court, the names of the facilities would stay on there permanently. So we took out the except as otherwise ordered by the court. And we also, in the database, precluded the department from including social security numbers, addresses, or dates of birth.
Thank you, Lori.
Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative
Gilbert. There's still one outstanding question. I'm still wondering if there's a miscommunication. I can't find the place where we removed the DD licensing fees from the quality care facility. My understanding is that all of the DD licensing fees and civil penalties are going into the quality care. And I've gone back through. I can't find a spot where we changed that. Okay. And it wasn't the intention to change that. I believe we were taking out the mental health, alcohol, and drug dependency.
Okay, so...
Gilson, what section would that be?
So in the dash 8, I believe we're looking at page 6, line 7.
Thank you.
We're referring to the establishment of the quality care fund that's on page 6 of the original bill. Creating a 10A and 10B there.
Okay, so we need to stand.
Okay, Chair, I think maybe I was mistaken. If you give me just one moment here. What we did in Section 11, which is on the amendments, it's page 6, lines 1 through 3. What this did to Section 11 is it said that, except as provided in this new subsection, all the monies collected under 443-400 to 455 go into the general fund, and then the new subsection 3 says the money's collected from a residential care facility under, and then it says three different statutes go into the quality care fund. And then those statutes, whoops, I think are in here. Chair Tomei, Representative Gelser, I wasn't correct.
Thank you.
All the fees from 443-415, which is amended, which is Section 9 as amended with the new schedule of fees, would go in there, as well as the civil penalties from Section 12, which is 443-455. And 443-425 is the two-year annual renewal of license fees. So you have 415 is the initial, 425 is the renewal, and 455 would be the civil penalties.
Thank you very much.
Chair.
Yes, Representative Talent.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble tracking all these numbers. Could those of you who have been working these amendments, or someone just give us maybe a summary of the fees and the penalties, which ones are going into the quality care funds, or more appropriately, probably, which ones are not?
Representative Gelsinger, it looks like you'd like to answer that.
I would, thank you. So if I understand correctly, we're taking that new schedule of fees for the assisted living facilities, residential care facilities, and nursing facilities, and then the foster homes and residential care facilities that serve adults with developmental disabilities, their licensing fees and civil penalties and fines will go into the quality care fund. But we are not taking the mental health, A&D, and all of those other things, children's mental health, and putting those into the quality care fund. Those remain as they are.
That is correct. Thank you.
So we're okay, Representative Cowan?
I'm okay. I just couldn't write as fast as she talks.
We'll work on that.
No one can. Okay, any other questions while we have Lori here? Representative Olson.
Hey, Lori. Morning.
Morning.
As I'm reading through this bill and everything, and we had some discussion earlier in the week regarding the different levels and standards that we have right now on the books that deal with burden of proof. And I know I was interested in taking a look at clear and convincing at that. Can you tell me exactly what is the standard through this bill right now that's being used to determine, specifically as I look at Section 2, line 17, containing all substantiated complaints of abuse that occur in a facility, what standard that is, and then also on page 2, line 29, where it talks about reasonable cause, where that fits in to the picture for standard.
Chair Tomei, Representative Olson, reasonable cause is the standard, but it's not a standard currently for putting it on a database. It's for taking some further action, and that further action could be a licensing action. It could be making the facility take corrective action. It could be penalty. But currently, as I understand the way the department is interpreting it, it's reasonable cause.
Okay, so...
Follow up?
Please, thank you. I'm glad she didn't throw me down on the ground like she normally does. Thank you, Madam Chair. So what standard is it then to get you onto the database, onto the list?
Chair Tomei, Representative Olson, it would be the same standard.
Okay. Follow up?
Follow up?
Okay. I know... For those of us that are not that intelligent and knowing the five different levels of burden of proof and everything, reasonable suspicion is the lowest level, or reasonable cause, and then you have probable cause, preponderance of evidence, clear and convincing, and then beyond reasonable doubt, which fits into the criminal element side of it. Where does the reasonable cause issue fit then in those five?
Chair Tomei, Representative Olson, there are a number of places where the standard is reasonable cause. It's a little tricky because it's really the threshold standard for taking some action. Presumably under this bill, the department would have to determine what substantiated means. So reasonable cause would get them started. If it was substantiated, however they defined that, then the person's name would go in the database.
Okay.
Any further questions,
Madam Chair?
Representative Gelsinger.
Thank you. I believe that yesterday in our discussions with the department that there was testimony that the standard that the department uses for substantiating an allegation is actually preponderance of the evidence.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative?
I did, thank you. I did not hear the Department of Human Services say that yesterday, and I was diligently taking notes on preponderance of an evidence If there's somebody from here, I would love to hear him say that. And actually, I'd love to have that in the bill specifically.
Is Ms. Kudosh?
Don't everybody leave us.
Thank you so much, Lori. Stay right close
and
by.
Just to clarify, so the reasonable cause is the first step to initiate an investigation. Just to clarify. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Eva Kutesh. I'm the Director for the Office of Investigations and Training. And I'm here to tell you that everyone is correct. we have defined by administrative rule, not by the statute that's laid out in this bill, by administrative rule, that initial definition of substantiation is reasonable cause to believe. However, we have always taught and trained and worked to the preponderance of the evidence standard, and that's because that's what it takes to support a licensing action or other kinds of actions that regulatory bodies like the department take. I'll just stop there if you have further questions.
Any further questions?
Madam Chair,
yes.
Representative Gelser, this bill is a bill I feel that's needed urgently. But some of the discussion that I heard yesterday dealt with the consistency that should be brought to all 36 counties as well as statewide.
Absolutely.
You and I talked about that,
yes.
Madam Chair. My first impression was to, maybe it's because of the background that I come from and everything, was considering clear and convincing. But I would feel a lot more comfortable with this bill if, in fact, it specifically identified it to be preponderance of an evidence. So, rather than by administrative rule.
Thank you. Any further questions, concerns that we want to ask? Discuss with the department or with Lori. Thank you so much. If you stay close by, Lori, in case I don't get to speak to you again, you have just done an incredible job. I know you're working late and coming early, and I hope it's short term for you and that you can take lots of vacation time. You've done a fantastic job in a very, very difficult situation. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chair Tony.
Okay, where are we? There isn't yet. First, do I have a motion to suspend the rules to allow our good Representative Olson to vote yes on...
Madam Chair, I move to suspend the rules so Vice Chair Olson can vote on adoption of the Dash 7 amendments.
Thank you so much. Any discussion, any question? Representative Olson, how do you vote on
yes.
this? Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have that, Joanne? Thank you. Okay. So now we have the Dash 8 amendments. Any further discussion on the Dash 8?
Madam Chair, I yes. move to adopt the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 3617.
Representative Kotek moves to adopt the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 3617. Any discussion? All right. Joanne, would you take the roll, please?
Representative
Yes.
Representative Gelser?
Yes.
Representative
Gilliard?
Aye.
Representative
Kokak?
Aye.
Representative
Mauer?
Yes.
Aye. Having received the constitutional majority,
no.
The Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 3617 are accepted. So...
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3617 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Kotek moves House Bill 3617 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it will be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Representative Gilliard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe you can answer this procedural question. We are moving to pass and refer to by Ways and Means.
Correct.
Is that the point where we will have a better fiscal picture on this?
Yes.
And so that's why we're doing it.
Correct.
Thank you. Yes. May I say a couple of words about this bill?
Of course you may.
I'm a little grumpy about some bills that are coming through our committees. Would anyone like to hear my speech from yesterday on the floor?
Sure.
No, you would not. And I just want to make sure that we remember the context of this, at least mine, as I understand it, of this committee, when we were told, and I think you were specifically told, that this session would have one bill, and then those rules changed in some way that I don't understand. So we passed out one bill, and in my view, this very important bill, this one, more important than the one we passed out, came up, and for me it came up quickly. I don't know exactly what the timeline is, and someone can correct me, but I believe we've been looking at this for 2 or 3 weeks. Oh. Incorrect in your view?
Incorrect. We've been looking at it since November.
Then I've only been paying attention for 2 or 3 weeks. So I am concerned that we're going too fast. I am not concerned about the subject matter. I have no doubt about the sincerity of those that have worked very hard on this, and I have no doubt about the sincerity of the testimony that we've heard from, particularly people who have loved ones who not only have to deal with the disabilities that they may or may not have, but they also have to deal with the fear of being abused by their caregivers. It's extremely serious. It's extremely important, which is why I'm concerned about rushing to do this. I think this is an appropriate session, an appropriate committee to review it, to talk about the policy, but I don't think we're ready. But we're going to do it. So I just want to be sure that everybody understands that I'm for the idea, and I will vote for this bill, but I have reservations about the speed, because I think there are lingering doubts about, for instance, it's a good idea to go and use all tools at our disposal, but there are ramifications to going on the internet. It is not simply the information's there, let's take it to the internet, it'll be a great idea. One man's ceiling in the information world is another man's floor, or a woman's.
Thank you.
My children are on MySpace for a very different reason than I'm on. I want to know what's going on in their lives. They're doing it for social reasons. We're going to put this on there, and we heard in testimony that it's not. We're not putting it on there as specifically a higher fire kind of piece. But that's exactly what it'll be used for, whether we intended for it or not. So we're rushing into an area of putting information on the internet in a new database, and I don't know if we're prepared for those ramifications. Lastly, I would say that I love the Oregonian. That little weird thing about on the corner there on the side of the living section is just very funny. What's that called?
The edge.
Love the edge.
Me too.
I don't want the Oregonian setting the standard or the pace or the agenda for this body, and it is, and we've heard it several times on not only this bill but other things. I love the fact that they shed the light that we need shed in dark corners, but they don't tell us what's best for the policy of the agencies that we oversee, and I fear that part of the rush, in addition to this wacky session, is responding to media. And lastly, I think we've got constitutional problems, possibly, that could tie up this bill because of due process. And we've got memos on our desk that ask the question, and as far as I know, they haven't been answered in testimony. So we've got a lot of people in the room who are saying, well, of course we're for this, but boy, is this new territory. But we're going to push ahead. So I'm on board, but with reluctance. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gillian.
Madam Chair, can I ask for, and I've never asked for this before, but a quick recess?
Of course.
Because of the unusual nature of this?
Yes.
Thank you.
What do? We will recess.
session that we're in right now as a special session has caused this to be like a train that has momentum that isn't stopping, and really taking a look at a good hard look of what's going on with this bill for the impact to everybody. Now, I do believe, as I mentioned earlier this morning, there is an urgency with this, because I do support the whole issue with DD and protection. I mean, that's my very nature, to protect. I still have a concern with the issue of preponderance of evidence being identified in the bill, and there's probably a few other things too that I'd really like to be able to sit down as a whole with people to get squared away. But because of the environment that we're in right now, we're pushed at a tempo, and that's not your fault, but you are pushing us. See, there we go. Okay, so anyways, I've said that now, and I've said my piece. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. I just want to say something. The stakeholders have worked really hard with us, and I want to thank all of you. I know it's tough. I know things are moving along much quicker than we would if we were having a 6, 7, 8, 9 month session. So I know it's hard. Change is hard. But thank you for working with us. And believe me, we're going to continue working with you. We're going to be bringing the department back. I think we've already talked with you. We'll be bringing you back in just a few months, back to the committee during the interim to see how this is going. You know how to reach me. You probably, most of you, have my cell phone. My home number is in the phone book. If there is a problem, call me. I will be there for any of you, for the stakeholders, for the facilities, for the workers. This is not intended to hurt anyone. It is going through quickly. And I wish, we've talked about this before, I wish that the state had the money and the ability to do the kind of investigation that the primary state newspaper has been able to do. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen. So it's a shock when we read in the paper about these egregious situations of harm that are happening to the most vulnerable of our population. And to me, it is an emergency. I don't want to read about anybody more in the next year. So I know it's rushed. I know everybody feels like they're trying to catch up. I feel the same way. We've expected an awful lot of Elsie with her two thick books there. Thank you for moving along with us. Thank you for trusting us that we're going to do the best thing for you as well as for your families and your clients. We're going to be there for you. I really appreciate the committee for being so hard. I know it's been hard. I appreciate you working on this bill, working on this issue to protect the most vulnerable people in this state, the people who don't have a voice, who obviously are mute. We need to be there for them. And I think, and it doesn't do the whole thing. And that's when I talk to some of you, I'm hearing you say, this doesn't begin to address these issues. I don't disagree. We're just taking one bite of the elephant, but by golly, we're going to take that bite. We're going to make that step. So thank you for coming along. Thank you for working hard. Thank you for asking the hard questions. Again, thank all of you for the hard work you've done. So I think that is my speech. And Representative Mauer, I know you want to speak.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just a couple things. I think that in fact, we did have the information available to us. The department did have the information. The Oregonian didn't invent anything. They asked for public documents. All they did is expose it. And so I then have to go back and look at us, we as the state, and say, how come we didn't expose it? And how come we haven't addressed it before? And do we always have to wait for the public outcry in order to make changes? And I hope that is not the case. I really hope that is not the case. But it seems like it is. it is. And so that's where, you know, we need to ask the department, quite frankly, to help us, you know, expose these problems so that we can do our job appropriately. And it is going to take a little money. I mean, clearly it takes a little money, but it's also about a change in the way we do business. My other point, real quickly, is besides the process being rushed and we're learning and all that, is the opinion that was just handed to us this morning about the due process piece, and I do hope that might be addressed on the Senate side. I think, though, that there's an issue in here, and I'm going to read one particular statement in that discussion piece of this memo that was handed to me by Mary Botkin of Ask Me. And that is that the charges must be public. And, in fact, you know, is a public record not a public record? And is the Internet more public than a public record? And that's a question that clearly is not addressed in this committee. And that's way above my pay grade. I'm not a lawyer. But I think if it hasn't been asked before, is the Internet more public than a public record? And I think that gets back to the department really needs to help us expose these things so that we can take advantage of the new technology so that we can do a better job of protecting the public, of providing that consumer protection piece. And instead of use it as a hammer, use it as a tool for us to improve our processes and improve our services to especially the most vulnerable in the state. So I am supportive, clearly, of the concept. I will vote yes on the bill. But there are still some outstanding issues that need to be addressed, and I hope they are on the Senate side.
Great. Thank you, Representative. I'm going to use the prerogative of the chair to read some notes that I wrote that I just want to make absolutely clear. The department must work with all the stakeholders, including the advocates, the providers, the consumers, the unions, the direct care staff, to address the issue of how to appeal a substantiated claim of abuse. This would ensure fairness for all employees, improve safety for patients and coworkers, and would restore needed confidence to the department's process. And the department must develop an action plan and a communication plan to standardize the process of investigation and substantiation case-wide. As we heard throughout this process, that it is not standardized among the counties, and we want to make sure that that happens. And this committee will, in the spring, will look at a mock-up of what the database will look like prior to the launch of the database, which must take place on or before August 1st. And at that time, I'd like to also hear a report about the progress towards developing some sort of grievance process, and I think some of us are concerned about that, for substantiated findings that are contested and about the improvement and standardization of the investigative process. So, now that I've said my piece, Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to add to that I would, and my expectation is that we will see a policy option package from seniors and peoples with disabilities to discuss potentially taking all the investigative function in-house statewide from state administration versus county, because I think that's where some of the issues are. And if we are, as we raise the public nature of this public information via the Internet, I think that holds the department to a higher standard in making sure there is consistency. And I'm not sure how you can do that through a contracted county structure. I think you're going to have to take it in-house completely for the state. So I expect to see a budget proposal of that effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kotek. Any further discussion? Okay. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Powell?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Boyle?
Aye.
Representative Kopeck?
Aye.
Representative Mauro?
Yes.
Representative Olson?
Yes.
Madam Aye.
Having received the constitutional majority, this motion passes, and the bill, as amended, is sent to the committee. Oh, don't we send it to the floor? Okay. We'll go to the floor and then on to the Committee of Ways and Means. Right? I close the work session on House Bill 3617. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't know if the audience realizes this, but I have the best committee in this building. And it's not just my opinion, but I hear it. There's a lot of buzz. You know, everybody knows we've got buzz in this building. And now that people are compacted, it's just nitter, 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 nitter. But what I hear consistently is that I have the best committee in this building. And I just, in case this audience didn't realize that, I just want them to know that. So, Representative Gilliam, did you have something to...
Yes. Madam Chair, I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate most of what you said earlier. And even though you ignore me and talk to your committee staff person while I'm speaking...
Could you repeat that?
I don't want to ruin what a wonderful moment, but I just have to say on behalf of Representative Olson and Representative Maurer and myself, the reference to taking a bite out of the elephant really hurt.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, there will be no meeting on Monday, and on Tuesday our intent is to have a hearing on the TANF reauthorization. So, and if you have any other issues that you would like, in case we don't have a lot of Senate bills coming, if you have any other issues, I've got a list of issues. Any that you feel are especially important for us to hear next week, please get back to me. With that, I close the hearing on Human Services and Women's Wellness.